Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, this is him speaking to his brothers, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Praise God. And he said, "But God meant it unto good." I want to just preach tonight, God is a good God. God is a good God. And we cannot get the idea that God is out to destroy our lives and to hurt us. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, amen, that we could be saved. It is the will of God that we be saved. And when you think about it tonight, salvation is the top shelf right there. When we were born again, when we repented and been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, that's the greatest thing God could ever do in your life. And too often we think about serving God and the blessings of the Lord as a new house, a new car, money in the bank, so on and so forth. But I'm telling you, those are temporary things, and God blesses us with that. We've come an awful long way in those areas. But I'm telling you tonight, he is a good God, and he wants to bless us. And the brothers of Joseph thought it for evil. He said, "You thought evil against me, but God was good to me." Amen. God meant it for good. I want to preach on that a little bit here tonight. Let's pray together, and let's ask for the help of the Lord. We thank you tonight, Father, for your presence. Thank you for the touch of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. We ask you, Lord, to minister to the need in this place. Supply our needs abundantly in the name of Jesus, and we give you thanks for it. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. The story of Joseph is a tremendous story of a young man that had faith in God. And I guess I could start out tonight by letting all of these young men and young ladies that are here understand and know that even though things may not be perfect in your life, God is still good and God will work in your life. What we need to do is understand that without faith it is impossible to please God, and yet we understand that with faith we do please God. And when we walk with God, we please God, and God blesses, and God moves in our lives. And many times as a young person, life is very simple, but it doesn't take very long when you get a little bit older to understand that sometimes the world can get pretty ugly and things can turn in a way that are not perfect. Amen. And yet, the Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Amen. And then it goes on and it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Amen. And so, in speaking about the work of the Spirit of God in our lives, the Apostle Paul here lets us to know that that God helps our infirmities. God is not a God that puts us down for our shortcomings. Amen, and so forth. But the grace of God lifts us up above our weakness, above our shortcomings, and helps us to do things that we would never be able to do on our very own. And the Spirit helps our infirmities. That word infirmities there means feebleness of mind or body. And so there are times that we fall very short because we are weak in our body. There are times that we are weak in our mind, amen, and we fall short. But there is an answer to the situation. We're not left without hope tonight. We're not left without a place to turn and a place to go to where we can find grace to help in the time of need. And that is in our prayer closet in the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not enough just to pray, now I lay me down to prayer sleep. But there is a place that we can enter into in the realm of the Spirit. Praise God. Where the Spirit helps our infirmities and we actually begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and we begin to pray in a language that we have never spoken before. Amen. That we don't understand. There have been a few times in my walk with God where I've understood this, and I think it happens more than what we realize. But there was a time when I was facing some things that I didn't know how I would make it through, and I found a place of prayer. Amen. A place in the Holy Ghost, and in the Holy Ghost for a good long time, I began to pray, and I began to speak in tongues like I had never spoken in tongues before. I had never recognized that language or that voice. Amen. And after a while, what I was battling and what I was struggling with in my feeble mind, amen, and in my infirmity of my mind, all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord just came in and lifted it off of me and gave me liberty and victory. Amen. And I understand now what it means there in Romans chapter 8. Praise God that all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Amen. There's times that you and I don't know what we need to pray for. There are times that we get in prayer ruts. Amen. And we pray the same thing over and over again without any results seemingly. But I'm telling you, there is a better place of prayer, amen, than just repeating a prayer or saying the Our Father or just talking to God in our carnal mind and in our feeble mind. Amen. Because in the feeble mind, we're not able to understand what we really need. Amen. We really don't know what it is that we really need in our lives. There's really only one that knows what we need, and it's God. But isn't it true when we go to God in prayer many times, excuse me, that we say, God, I need this. How many's ever done that? Nobody. All right. A couple of you have. Praise God. I need this, God. I need that, God. God, would you do this for me? God, would you speak to me about this? Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we're not in the place of God. As Joseph said, for am I in the place of God? And I think that too often we get the idea, maybe subconsciously, that we are in the place of God and what we do affects God. I'm telling you, I'm not so interested in doing something that will affect God. I'm interested in God doing something that will affect me. I'm not interested in changing God's mind. Oh no, whenever they did it in the scripture, it was for the bad most of the time. Amen. And they said, we want a king. And God said, you don't want a king. They said, we want a king. And he said, tell them what they're getting ready to get and then protest solemnly against it. And then leave it alone because they're headed in a direction. Listen, I'm not here tonight to tell us that we need to pray and tell God what we need. I'm here to tell us tonight that we need to go to God in prayer and for God to tell me what I need to do. Praise God. I need the Word of God to get down into the joints and the marrow. I need the Word of God to discern the thoughts and the intents of my heart. Amen. I need God to move in a profound way in my life. Praise God. And we can't do that by entertaining the world all week long and expecting on Sunday morning and Sunday night for everything to come together and take care of itself. I'm telling you tonight, we've got to have a walk with God. We're going to have a prayer life. Amen. We're going to have to be able to touch God when we need to touch God. Amen. And Paul is writing here in Romans chapter 8 about how God feels about his children. And it says here that that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. The reason is God already loves us. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Amen. We can't walk around in pride and say, I love God, I love God, I love God. Amen. We're here tonight because God loved us first. God called us first. Amen. The Lord filled us first. God called us first to live for him and to come to a place of repentance in our lives. Amen. And so it was God that made the first step. And the reason that he made the first step is because God is a good God. And God loves us. God cares about our future. He cares about your future. He cares about your life. He cares about the little things in your life. Amen. And so, because of that, we can come to the belief and the understanding that if God knows a little hair falls off of our head, he marks it down in his book. He knows the days of our numbering here on this earth. Praise God, he knew our name before we were ever born. Amen. But I'm asking us here tonight, how well do we know God? God knows us that well, but how well do we know God? Amen. Are we just looking to him as a big Santa Claus in heaven to give us things and to bless us with things? Amen. But what is the mind of the Spirit tonight? What is the mind of God? And what is the will of God? What are the little things that God feels about that we are sensitive to? Amen. That if you feel this way, God, I feel that way because I love you. Praise God. I don't believe tonight we've got to have holiness preached down our throats. Amen. I don't believe that it's a hard, cold thing, but I believe it's a beautiful thing. The beauty of holiness. Praise God. Because somebody said, I want to be like God, and God doesn't like this, so I don't like it. Amen. I'm not going to do it because God doesn't like it. Amen. And I don't want to displease him, but I want to please him. Do we want to please God tonight with all of our heart? Do we really want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant? Amen. We got to know God as much as we can, like God knows us. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And in Romans chapter 8 there, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, God foreknew us. That means that he knew us before. Amen. Before we were born, he knew us. Before he did predestinate us to be conformed to the image of his son. And that predestination, some say that predestination is a biblical doctrine, that your life was predestined and every step that you take and everything that you do was predestined by God, and there's no choice on your part. That it is happening no matter what you say or do, but the Bible gives us clear understanding that God has given each and every one of us the power of choice. He has given us the ability to choose what we are going to do with our life. Amen. We can choose to find out what that predestined plan is. Let's read a little bit further. To be predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called, and whom he called, them also he justified, and whom he justified, them he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And so the predestination is to be conformed to the image of his son. Praise God. The predestined plan for our life is to live for God. It's really that simple. The predestined plan of God for your life and my life was to hear the message of the gospel and to come to the altar and repent of my sins. The predestined plan of God was for me to take a trip to the baptismal tank and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. The predestined plan of God was for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidence with speaking in other tongues. And it doesn't stop there. Praise God. But we were predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That means we stop lying and cheating. That means we stop our cursing and swearing. Well, come on, somebody. That means we lay aside the filthiness of our flesh. And we, not just the flesh, but of the Spirit. And perfect holiness in the fear of God. Amen. To be conformed to the image of His Son. And somewhere in the middle of all of that, there is a specific predestined plan for your life. Amen. What has God called you to do? And are you busy doing what God called you to do? Praise the Lord. Are you preparing and getting ready and praying and seeking God? God, what have you called me to do in my life? Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God. And so we have a predestined plan in our life. Why? Because God's a good God. He could let us wander like a ship without a sail, like a ship without a rudder. Amen. Just going with the currents of this world and the winds and the waves blowing us this way and that way. A world without order. Amen. A world without purpose, a world without meaning, no reason to get up in the morning and go through the day. Amen. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, God had a plan for your life, and it was not that kind of a plan, but it was a plan that included order for your life. Well, praise God. And sometimes it seems like this world is out of order. And there is chaos in this world. And there is confusion. And God help us, it can come into your life. Amen. And you can experience the world and the confusion of this world that bombards against you. Like the billows and the waves that overflow us sometimes. The pain and the hurt and the suffering and the agony and the fear and the doubt. And all of the things that come upon us. And we say, where is God? I'm here to tell you tonight, God's a good God. And God has a plan for your life. Amen. It may not look like it right now, but God has a plan for your life. And all things do work together for the good. Because God's a good God. I said God's a good God tonight. God's a good God and He wants to bless us. And He wants to lead us in the paths of righteousness. He wants to lead us by the still waters. He wants to lead us in the green pastures. Praise God, because He's a good God tonight. And I think about this young man, Joseph. What a tender young man, favored by his father. Who was his father? It was Jacob. It was Israel, which was Jacob. Jacob had quite a story to tell. Oh, he had stories to tell of his father Isaac. And he had stories to tell of his grandpa Abraham. And now Joseph comes along and he's the favored son. Oh my, it's great to be the favored son. You can do no wrong. Everything's cool. I mean, you get the best of the best. And everybody pampers you and pets you, tells you how great you are, builds you up and all of that. Amen. I'll tell you, it's wonderful to be there, but I'm telling you, when you hit a brick wall and the real world comes crashing down upon you, you better have a foundation more than just mama patting you on the back and stroking your hair and saying, oh, honey, you're so sweet. Amen. Because the world doesn't care about mama. And the world doesn't care what daddy says. The world doesn't care. It's cruel and it's cold. And when it comes, amen, it does its best to destroy. Amen. I heard just the other day of someone that was dying in the hospital and calling the nurse and saying, help me, I'm dying. And they stood there and laughed as he passed away. That's the world. That's the ways of the world. That's how cold it is in the world. Amen. And Joseph here, he was just going along looking at all the beautiful flowers of life. Just going along and everything is good and everything is happy. Amen. If anything goes wrong, I'll just go to Dad. Dad'll take care of it because he loves me. He made me a coat of many colors. Amen. And not only that, it seems like there's a higher power in my life that's leading me to blessings. And it was God Almighty. And Joseph started dreaming dreams. He got spiritual. Amen. The Lord began to move in his life and he dreamed dreams. And he dreamed that the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to his star. He dreamed that the sheaves in the field, each of his brothers had a sheave and they were laying down or they were standing up and they fell down and they made obeisance to his sheave. And oh my, the dream of young people, praise God. It's big, it's high. Oh, I'm telling you, it's fantastic when you talk to young people about their dreams. Young people don't ever stop dreaming. Amen. Think big in your life. Praise God. Think big, but do a little bit more than just thinking big. Get busy and start working in that direction. Amen. But it's just exciting to be around young people. They can get excited about the most simple things. Not that you folks are that way, but I saw a little one back there in the nursery before church, and they've got that little thing with beads on it, and you can go like that, and the beads will spin around. And I just stood there and watched as he was just talking to himself, and he was just going like that, and the beads were going down around this way, and then he'd go up the other way, and he just sat there and looked at those beads, and my, the colors, and all the fun here that I'm having, and pretty simple, pretty simple. And Joseph had a pretty simple life. He did what his dad told him that day and went out about his business. And one fateful day, his father told him, Joseph, I want you to go check on your brothers and find out if everything's going well with them. In other words, he was a scout. He was someone that was going to go see if there was a problem. And if there was a problem, he was going to bring it back to Dad. And if he brought it back to Dad, everybody's in trouble. Amen. And his brothers hated him because of the coat of many colors, and they hated him because of his favor position. And you know what? The devil hates us because of our favored position with God. He hates us. He hates the church. He hates Christianity. He hates a move of God. He hates people that repent of their sins. He'll come against you with everything that he can. He'll get vicious and mean. Oh, and that's exactly the way it was with Joseph. So he finally finds his brothers, and as he's afar off, they look and they say, who's that coming? Oh, I see that pretty little velvet coat that little favored brother has on. It's the dreamer. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with him? Nobody's around. We can't stand to be in his presence. We can't stand anything about him. And somebody said, let's just kill him. And the other brother said, yeah, that's a good idea. Then we'll be done with his antics and all of his stuff. And we'll see what happens to, you know, after that. And then the oldest one had a little bit of sense. Reuben had a little bit of sense in his head. And he said, brothers, let's don't do this. Let's throw him into this pit. And so there was a pit in the ground. Maybe it was a sinkhole. And it fell down in the ground. And it was deep. There was no water in it. And they threw him down. You can almost imagine as he walks up, and he's the younger brother, so his voice is a little bit like that. And hey, brothers, how's it going today? And all of a sudden, he gets shoved from behind. hey, cut that out. And all of a sudden he gets shoved the other way, and then he gets slapped, and then he gets knocked down on the ground, and they tear his coat off, and they throw him down into that pit, and he's laying down there and sitting down there, however it was, and he's crying, and he's calling out to them. But I wonder what it was down there in that hole in the ground. What was it there that Joseph got a hold of that made him see God in his situation? I got a feeling it was probably the stories of his father Jacob, where Jacob was running for his life and he said, "Son, I saw this ladder going up to heaven, and the angels ascending and descending. And the other brothers, they just passed it off as just an anomaly in his life of some sort." But Joseph sat at the knees of his father, and he could just imagine God speaking to him from the top of that ladder. That's what my dad experienced. Oh, I would love to experience something like that. I would love to know that God loves me like that. And he probably heard the story of Abraham through his father, and of how he went to Mount Moriah, and how God provided a ram instead of a lamb for a sacrifice. And God called to his grandpa with an angel out of heaven and said, "Do no harm to the lad." And that's the very reason that I'm here, is because of what my grandpa did. He could have said, "I'm a fourth generation Abraham child." Amen. And he had a lot of bragging rights. He had a lot of things, a lot of stories that the elders had told to him. And here now, it's more than just a campfire story. Now it's more than just a story that Dad told me of something that happened years and years ago. Amen. Now I'm going to have to find God for myself. And the Bible says that they took him down to Egypt. Amen. And they hurt his feet in the iron and in the chains that were upon him. Psalm chapter 105 declares this. And it says, "He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him." Well, praise God. He was tried in the fire. He was tried like gold in the fire. And God turned the heat up on this young, tender young man. And in his innocence, it wasn't very long until he realized the severity of his situation. And he cried out, but he got slapped in the face for it. He struggled against them and said, "What are you doing?" as they put the irons on his legs. Why are you putting me in handcuffs? I've done nothing wrong. Shut up and obey." And a harsh, cruel voice came to him. And they said, "March, we're headed to Egypt." And he began to march. And probably, I don't know how many miles it was, but it was way too many miles. And as he began to walk, he could hear those chains. And before long, the muscles in the fronts of his legs, by pulling the chain behind him, began to be like it was on fire. And all of a sudden, blisters began to rise up around his ankles, where those chains and those shackles were put upon his ankles. And if you've ever had a blister, and then to have the blister break, oh my, the pain, the raw flesh, and it went down to raw flesh, and then it probably went down to the bone. And as he began to walk, and as he got mile after mile, it was so excruciating and so hard. It didn't matter, amen, it didn't matter to them if he started crying. It didn't matter to them if he said, "This isn't right and just." They would just laugh at him because they cared nothing of righteousness and justice. Amen. They cared nothing of what is right. And folks, I'm telling you, that's an example of the devil. That's an example of the world. It doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter to the devil. But I'm telling you what, in the midst of all of that, he got a hold of something. He got a hold of something. He remembered the stories of his father. He remembered the stories about his grandpa and his great-grandpa. Amen. He remembered these things and he said, I believe that God is good. Amen. I'm not going to go down the road of my captors. I'm not going to develop their way of thinking about things. I'm not going to adopt their careless attitude, but I choose to believe that God is in this somehow. I don't know how. And I'm sure there were moments where he had despair. And there were moments that things just seemed like it was never going to get better. Oh God, it's a horrible place to be. It really is. It's almost as though there is no hope around you. I don't have anything to hope in. I can't see any way out of this situation. But the very fact that we think that way is because we are looking at it through carnal eyes and carnal logic and carnal thinking. But God has a higher plan. It was predestined before you were born. It was laid out in the heavens ahead of time. And what we need is faith in God that it's all going to be all right. Did you hear that tonight? Somebody needs to hear that tonight. We've got to have faith that it is going to be all right. And we've got to have hope. Amen. And we've got to understand the love of God. And those are the three things that will help you through. Faith, hope, and charity. Praise God. Faith, hope, and love. Those are the three things that are going to get you through your situation. An understanding of the love of God, amen, a faith in that God, that he is a good God, and a hope for the future. Praise God. If you lose your hope, you're in a bad place. But we're not in a bad place here tonight. There's hope in God. Amen. I said there's hope in God. There is a door somewhere. I can't see it, but God knows where it is. And if it's not there, he'll make it in his time. Praise God. And there he is, sold as a slave. Sold as a slave. And begin to do good in Potiphar's house. Amen. The chief executioner. You really want to do good in the chief executioner's house. You really do. Because you don't want him to get upset at you. Because that would not be a good day. Amen. And he did. And he was blessed. He was blessed. He was blessed. He was given opportunity. Don't tell me that he wasn't. He was given opportunity. And Potiphar gave him an opportunity. He probably gave him a $20 bill and said, hold that for me, would you, son? Yes, master. And all of a sudden, things go through his mind. What can I do to bless my master? He's a slave owner. He's a man that kills people. But you know what? God put me here. And the scripture says, whatever you find to do with your hand, do it with your might. And he saw something on sale and he bought it and went down the street and resold it for a little profit. And a day or two later, Potiphar said, hey, young man, I gave you $20 to hold for me, didn't I? I need that right now. Would you give that back to me? And Joseph handed him 20 and two ones. And he looked at it. He said, I told you I gave you 20. Where did you get the other two? Oh, master, don't be upset with me, but I took an opportunity and I bought some things and then I resold them so that I could bless you a little bit. And I'm giving you the extra. This is a different servant. I've never had one like this before. Son, you just keep that $22 and see what you can do with it, all right? Yes, sir. And so a little bit of liberty was given to him. And then as it was blessed of the Lord, a little more liberty was given. And a little more liberty was given. And then he was shown into the office of Potiphar one day. And he said, see all of these books? This right here is my real estate accounts. And this right here is my bank accounts. And this here is the gold and the silver that I have. And what I want you to do right now is I want you to see what you can do in helping me in this particular account right here, in my real estate account. See if you can make that, see if there's some things in there that you can do to help that. And so he probably prayed to God. God showed him some things that he could do in buying and selling. And after a year's time, he was able to show Potiphar that he increased his real estate. And then he turned over his bank accounts. And then he turned over his gold and silver account. And then he turned over all the things that he had. And it came to pass before long, Potiphar did not even know what he possessed and did not know his personal worth unless he went and asked Joseph about it. Pretty good, huh? You know, some of us get in those situations, don't tell me what to do, I'm going to fight you. And those are the ones that perish quickly. But it is for the wise and it is for the humble. Amen. God lifts up the humble. God puts down the proud, but God lifts up the humble. God strengthens those who have the right attitude about life and about future. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, we know the story of Potiphar's wife, and he ends up in prison, and then he decides he's going to be the best prisoner that he can be. And so before long, the jailer says, here, I want you to take care of these two guys. We're going to go pick up trash along the road there, and you're in charge of those two guys. Yes, master. Yes, sir. And so Joseph's crew picks up more trash than all the other crews. Not a great accomplishment in life, but it shows his attitude about things. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Nathan, it doesn't matter if it's just a math test or you'll never know it. You'll never use that the rest of your life. It's not just looking at life and saying, oh, well, this isn't important. Listen, everything that you do is important. Are y'all listening to me here tonight? It's all very important. The little things especially are very important in your life. Don't ever get the attitude, oh, I'm just going to skate by and I'm just going to get by and it's going to be real easy and all of that. If you do that, you're headed for a train wreck. Amen. Because it gets tough sometimes. Some of you can say amen with me. It gets tough sometimes in life. And we've got to face things with a face like flint sometimes. And Joseph saw that opportunity. And before long, he was now the head over all of the prisoners. Still not a very good job, but it gave opportunity. And then the butler and the baker came. Y'all know these stories. The butler and the baker came in there and he interpreted their dreams. And he said, tomorrow you're going to be hanged, and tomorrow, or in 3 days you're going to be hanged, 3 days you're going to be back in your butlership. And when you get up there and you're squeezing the grapes into the glass of the Pharaoh, remember me and get me out of here. He wasn't willing to stay. He didn't want to stay where he was at. He didn't like life situations that came to him. But he said, remember me. And guess what? He forgot him. How many times can you get knocked down and get back up again? A lot. A righteous man will fall 7 times, but he keeps getting back up again. You know why? Because he has hope, and he understands that God is good. God is good. Praise the Lord. And he interpreted their dreams. They forgot him. 2 whole years went by, and then Pharaoh had a dream. Who could have given him a dream 2 years earlier? God could have, but he didn't. God chose to stop the dreams on this young dreamer and let him just grow in that love of God and that understanding that God is with me. God is with me. I'm not going to stop. I got a feeling tonight that God let him go through that time of trouble because there was something bigger in his future. You know what? We're going to be kings and priests in this earth. And how can we be a king and a priest? How can we be rulers over many cities, as the scripture says, if we don't know how to rule ourselves right now? Amen. Praise God. How can we understand real judgment and to know what is right and wrong unless we go through some things here in this life and we face it with patience? Amen. Understanding that Jesus went through some things and he faced it with patience. Joseph was going to become the prime minister of the world. Listen, you don't go to those heights without having some stability in your life first. Some foundation. What was his foundation? Well, when the Pharaoh had the dream and he interpreted the dream and he put his robe on him, put his ring on his hand, gave him authority and all of that, Joseph began to go to work for the Pharaoh, and everything worked out all right. And he understood judgment. He understood leadership. He understood mercy. He understood humility. He understood all of those qualities that have to be in a leader's life. Has to be. He understood all those things because every morning when he got up and put his shoes on, he saw those scars. Every morning when he put his shirt on and he pulled his sleeve down. Oh yeah, I remember. And how was it that when his brothers came to buy the corn, that he saw them? Some have said he got a little bit upset and that's why he treated them rough. I think he treated them rough maybe because of that, but I think he treated them rough because he knew the scoundrels that they were. And if they didn't understand his authority and his power, they was never going to submit to him. And you know what? Joseph is a picture of Jesus Christ. And we've got to understand the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. And until we submit to that, we're just going to be a bunch of scoundrels. Untrustworthy, without any direction in our lives. Amen. But then the day and the moment came when he revealed himself to his brothers. I know I'm taking a little bit of time here tonight, but I'm just using this to show you that God is a good God. Amen. He said, don't be grieved with yourself. Let's look at that scripture again. And I want to finish with this here tonight. He said unto them, fear not, fear not. Am I in the place of God? In other words, Joseph had come to the place where he realized, if the opportunity comes for judgment, I'm not going to do it because I'm not God. If God tells me to do it, that's one thing. But if God doesn't tell me to do it, I'm not going to do it. I'm backing off and I'm trusting God. He said, am I in the place of God? He said, but as for you, you thought evil against me. Oh my, that hurt more than if he would have scourged them. I know that you thought evil against me. I know what you were thinking about me, and I know you didn't care, and I know that you probably don't even care right now. And the only reason you're bowing down is because you're afraid for your life. That's the only reason. That he said, God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is to this day, to save much people alive. Praise God. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful God that we serve. What a wonderful Savior that we serve tonight. Don't ever get the idea that God's forgotten you. Are you listening tonight? Don't ever get the idea that God has forgotten you. Amen. You know, it hurts to be lied upon. It hurts to be spoken of behind your back. It hurts to be unjustly charged and accused. And yet the truth of the matter is, God could stop it if he wanted to. But he doesn't. Because he knows that if this world was paradise, we would never serve him. Amen. We would never give our lives to him. Amen. But it's not paradise. It's the proving ground. It's the testing ground for eternity. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't God a good God? Amen. If you're going through a difficult situation in your life tonight, I want to just be an encouragement to you. Amen. Don't give up hope. Don't give up your faith in God. Amen. But get in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, oh, I pray tonight you'll receive the Holy Ghost tonight in this place. And you'll understand what I'm talking about. There's a higher level of prayer. There's a higher level of serving God and living for God than just coming to church. Oh, church is so important. It's the centerpiece of God's creation in this world is the church. He went to Calvary to purchase the church. He's put the church on the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church is so important. But just coming to church and sitting on a pew isn't going to cut it, folks. Showing up at prayer time and just sitting there looking around isn't going to cut it. Well, I'm putting in my time. That's not what God called us to do. He didn't call us to put in our time. But he called us to touch him because we need him, because we want him, because we have trust in him, because our confidence is totally in him. Praise God. The two men walking down the road to Emmaus, stranger slips up beside them. They're walking down the road with their heads down because they had put their hope in this man named Jesus. And now he's been crucified, they buried him, and 3 days later they've stole his body. Everything is going wrong. Nothing's going right. We had such high hopes. And now we're just depressed. We've lost everything. The stranger slips up and says, "Hey men, how's it going? What manner of speech am I listening to here? What's wrong? What's wrong? Have you got a couple of days? We could tell you everything that's gone wrong and nothing's going to be right. It's a hopeless situation. The Romans are so powerful and there's no way we can oppose them. We don't have the ability. We don't even have the understanding of how to do something like that. We're slaves to this situation." What situation? "Well, you haven't heard what's happened in the last few days. What's happened?" "Oh, well, let us tell you. It's about this man named Jesus. We thought he was the Messiah. The Romans have killed him. And now they've taken his body, and we just don't know what to do." You ever been there? Just don't know what to do. And hear the words of Jesus. "Oh, my. Lord, help us. Help us to have faith." He said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." You know what, folks? I don't want to ever hear God say, "Oh, thou fool. Oh, fool, slow of heart." No, 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 no. I want to be quick to believe, quick to speak the word of faith, quick to say God is good, quick to say, revival's just around the corner. Praise God. And so he started, and here's the promotion for Bible studies. He gave him a Bible study from Genesis to Malachi. Every single prophet, he brought a scripture out concerning himself. And then they came to the fork in the road. And folks, every one of us are going to come to a fork in the road. You're going to come to that place where everything is against you, where you don't know which way to go, and it seems hopeless in your life, you're going to come to a fork in the road and you're going to decide to go this way or this way. And the Lord started going this way. They said, don't leave us. Please come to our house and have lunch with us. We've enjoyed this time together. Okay. So he goes to their house and they're getting ready to eat bread. He picks up the bread and he breaks it to give thanks, and their eyes are opened. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked by the way and as he put the scriptures out for us? That's what happens when we come to the house of God. That's what's happening right now. Somebody's heart is burning inside tonight, and you're saying, I know this is right. I know I need to trust God. I need to put my confidence in God. I need to put my hope in God. Amen. Or you're going to find that fork in the road where you're going to say, God leads me into too much trouble. I'm going this way. Don't go that way. Go the way of the Lord. Because God's a good God. The God I'm preaching about tonight's a good God. And it is for our good. Even though we cannot see, it's for our good. Why don't you just respond to that burning heart tonight? Why don't you just respond to it? I feel God in this place. I know it's not shouting and jumping tonight, but God's moving in somebody's heart tonight. Amen. There's a young person right there. God will use this young man. Yes. You know why? Because there's a response to the burning heart that says, I need God. I need God. Is there anybody else? And you feel that tug in your heart tonight to give your life to God and to serve God with all of your heart? Yes. Just say yes tonight. Come on. Come on. If these young people can come to the altar and pray. There's some adults here tonight. Give your life to God. Serve God with all of your heart. Give it all up. He'll turn around and give it back to you. Pressed down, heaped up, shaken together, running over.